Jeremiah chapter 35, which is our scripture reading for this morning. Let us hear the word of God. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said to them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have ye obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come, and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now, every man from his evil way, and amend your doings. And go not after other gods to serve them. Ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Thus far, God's infallible word. Dear congregation, children and young people, when we think about the fifth commandment, we often think about what we have to do. That we have to do what our parents tell us. We must obey them. And all others, obey all others whom the Lord has placed over us, like teachers and police officers and so forth. And that is true. The Bible says that in Ephesians 6, verse 1, that you must obey your parents, for this is right, and that is God speaking. But there's much more to it. There's more to having to do it. For if we do it rightly, it is something we want to do, something we desire to do. And not just obeying them, doing what they tell us and not doing what they forbid us, but to honor them. Really, that's what we read in the commandment itself, Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's one of these commandments where it is given for us as a reminder. It's the Lord your God who asks you to do it, the one who cares for you. So when he tells us not just to obey our parents, but to honor them. In the chapter we read together, we find an amazing example of such honor. And we wish to consider that with you, with God's help, from that chapter, also from Lord's Day 39, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 75. And of course, from the commandment itself, but from Jeremiah 35, and we just read now the last two verses, 18 and 19. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want, that means shall not lack, a man to stand before me forever. And then the Catechism, question 104, Lord say 39, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? And the answer is that I show all honor, love, and fidelity, that is loyalty, to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction, with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. With God's help, this theme, the obedience of the Rechabites in regard to the fifth commandment, the obedience of the Rechabites. In the first place, we wish to consider their submission, their amazing submission. In the second place, their example, their convicting example. And in the third place, their reward, their blessed reward. The obedience of the Rechabites, their amazing submission, their convicting example, and their blessed reward. Perhaps when we read this, when we started reading chapter 35, maybe you've read it before, maybe not, you are amazed, isn't it, how strange that request was that Jeremiah is to do. The Lord told him to take his family, the house of Rechab, the Rechabites, and bring them into the temple, into the house of the Lord, we read in verses 1 and 2. It was the Lord's call to Jeremiah. While the enemies were outside of the city, while there was such a time of dire need, he would say, let's go into the temple and pray. No, he has to get his family together in the temple and offer them wine to drink. It's a strange request, but it has a purpose. Now, chapter 35, you must know, is out of order chronologically, because you can easily see that in verse 1 it speaks about Jehoiakim being king, probably the latter end of his reign. And Jehoiakim was king before Zedekiah, of whom we have read in the previous chapters a few weeks ago, when we saw from chapter 33 verse 16 about the Lord our righteousness during a baptism sermon. But regardless of the time when it is, it's always a timely message. Could have been anywhere during the time of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah obeys. He's had other such, from his perspective, that is, strange requests. If you want to know what they are, read the chapters and you'll see. Each one of those, though, was a message, was an object lesson for Israel, but also for us today. And so this one, when he tells them, or when the Lord says, bring them in the temple and give them wine to drink. So he obeys. That alone is a wonderful example of what it is to respond to the word of God. But then we read in verses 3 through 5 that Jeremiah does that. He brings his own family along, his own son and brothers, his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites, and brought him into the temple. In verse 5, we see what he does. He says, I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink ye wine. Drink ye wine. So it was already, just imagine that. All these people there, many witnesses, all the house of Rechab there, drink wine. But they refuse. They shake their heads. They say, we cannot do that. We will not do that. Why not? Well, we read that too in verse 6 and the beginning of verse 7. We read, they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons, forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days you shall dwell in tents. Well, that too was an unusual request and command. Our father, they said, commanded us. No wine, no houses, and no farms. Perhaps you ask and wonder, well, no wine, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I can see dangers there. I can see wisdom there, but no houses, no farms? What's wrong with that? I can see anything wrong with that. What's wrong with building a house? What's wrong with having farms, having seed? Many farmers would then sin if that would be something sinful. What's wrong with that? Or perhaps another question, more profound, so it appears at times, what Bible text is there to back this up? Do these questions sound familiar to you, dear congregation, boys and girls? Young people, I can't see anything wrong with it. Where in the Bible do you find this? the Rechabites would have plenty of reasons to return that to their father. Indeed, sometimes you can see, right, why certain rules are made at home and in school and church and at work or wherever else in society. Sometimes you can't. Even on the road. The other day I was driving a nice road, 4 lanes and 35 miles an hour speed limit. I was quiet and I thought, why? Why 35 miles here? It could easily be 50 or 55. Seems to be no need to me, or perhaps to you, for that traffic rule or curfew. Be at home at a time which, from your perspective, seems way too early. What's wrong with coming home a little later? Or perhaps your bedroom, boys and girls, that seems right okay to you, but your mom and dad say, clean up, it's a mess. Not messy to you. Or school rules which seem unfair or unnecessary. I can't see what's wrong with it or what's right about it. Or at work. Or in church. Seem unnecessary or unfounded. And we could multiply examples. And perhaps you know many more than I just listed. What to do when we don't understand the reason? Or what to do when we don't agree with it? Even and especially when there is no scripture to back it up. What do we do? Do we obey? Do we complain? Disobey? Well, let's consider what the Rechabites did and how blessed they were as they obeyed these rules, which seemed have no scriptural mandate. Nowhere it's forbidden to drink wine. Nowhere it's forbidden to build houses. Nowhere it's forbidden to have farms. The opposite is even true. And not only did they obey their father, but they continued to do it for many generations. Not only after this time, but before this time. This was already an ongoing blessing for 300 years. Because who is this Jonadab? Well, it says our father, but we read it many times in the Bible. This father was their great-great-great-great-grandfather. Because this Jonadab lived in the time of King Jehu. We can read about that in 2 Kings 10, where Jehu was called as a king of the 10 tribes to clean up the country from the idolatry. And as he was on his chariot, he met Jonadab, the son of Rechab. And Jonadab joined Jehu in his battle against idolatry. Jonadab was a God-fearing man, a man of great respect in the church, in the country, and in his family. It was already an old tradition, but it was more, far more than an old tradition. It is something, as we read in the text, that it was commended by God and blessed by God for many generations. It's about 300 years. Some have different times, frames, but at least 200. So why did they do that? Why did they obey their father? Well, we read that in 7b. That last part of verse 7, they said, we did all these things because Father said that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. There's a wise reason there. Be strangers, boys. He said, be strangers in the land. Be pilgrims. Be nomads. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too settled and forget the Lord your God. That was behind this commandment. Also a wonderful promise that you may live many days in that land. Not only be strangers there, but live there many days. Do you note the similarity between this and the promise with the fifth commandment? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the Rechabites knew there was no Bible text behind the no wine, no houses, and no farms, and yet there was. Honor thy father. And of course, we always must be very careful that we limit the authority of the Father, that He would not command us to do anything that is against the Word of God in any particular place. But though it wasn't commanded that they shouldn't have houses and farms, it was nowhere contradicted. And so we read in verse 8, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, generations later. They are still committed to it, still submissive to it. Thus we obeyed. Simple reason, our father told us. Thus have we obeyed our father. In all that He hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Did you notice that twice the word all? In other words, they obeyed their father, likely in many more things than just these three items. They honored their father. They obeyed, it says, in all things. Oh, that's striking. How could they say that? Were they perfect then? How can it be true? Well, of course, they were not perfect. No one is. But you know what it was, dear congregation? And boys and girls, young people, it was the language of faith. It was the language of obedience, of faith. It was the language of believers. They realized that they not only listened to their father, but to God who spoke to them through their father. And that obedience that they performed rested on the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus, even though He still had to come. The Lord Jesus did indeed delight to do His Father's will. It was His delight to do His Father's will. You read that in Psalm 40. Verse 8, I delight to do Thy will, O my God. And He said it again in John 4:34. He said, my meat, that is my food, is to do the will of Him that sent me, to do my Father's good pleasure. And they didn't only say it themselves that they had done all, but God Himself acknowledges it in our text in verse 18. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore, acknowledged by the Lord, they not only obeyed, but they loved and honored their father. And that's exactly what the emphasis is also of the catechism. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother. Give them all due obedience. Submit myself, it says, to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. It was and is due to them. And that brings us really to our second point, where we not only see their amazing submission, but also their convicting example. Do obedience. To whom then? Well, to our parents, our superiors, teachers? Yes. But first of all, and above all, to God, the Lord our God. The commandment makes it very plain. The Lord thy God, it says, and it has repeated this already a few times in the Ten Commandments. To God as our Heavenly Father. That's what we were set apart for. And that's also why we pray a perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. And that's why the Lord Jesus obeyed his Father and delighted to do so, but also his earthly parents. Even though Joseph wasn't his father, he gave him all due honor. And so must we. The fifth commandment speaks of honoring our father and mother. And then it says, in the answer to question number 4, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So if you listen to that, it is saying exactly what it is meant to be. God is governing us by means of their hand. So not our father and mother governing us, but God is doing it by means of them. And the Rechabites believed that. They practiced it. And so Jeremiah must put them as an example before Israel and before us today, as it still comes as the word of God to us today. The Rechabites were in Jerusalem. You might wonder what were they doing there, for they were not to build houses. They must have at least temporarily perhaps set up some tents in the market square, or maybe they dwelt in a house temporarily. But they give the reason for that in verse 11. When they say it was the enemies approaching that causes us to flee for safety into the city, the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Meant to be temporary. They meant to stick to it as they stuck to the no wine commandment. But so Jeremiah has to use their obedience to convict Israel of their disobedience. You see that in verses 12 through 14, where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and we read it together. The Lord says, go tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words? And then he holds before them the example, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine or performed. For unto this day they drink none. But they obey their father's commandment. Note how many times it comes back. Notwithstanding, the Lord says, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you hearkened not unto me. In other words, the Rechabites received instruction and correction from their father. Why won't you? From your heavenly father. They obeyed their father. You will not obey me. They even obeyed their father in things that I never commanded them. How and why will you not obey me in the things that I command you? In other words, how unreasonable. How unreasonable. And he goes on in verse 15, really the word of God coming. I've sent also to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now, every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. Ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened to me. You see, the people of Israel were doing exactly what Jonadab feared their children would be doing. They weren't any more strangers in the land. They mixed with the people. They intermarried. They served their gods. You see, the commandment of the father, Jonadab, bears great fruit in contrast with what the rest of Israel had done. Not only did they disobey, but they also refused to repent. They refused to return and amend their evil ways. The implication is very clear. If they had done so, if they only had done so, the Lord says, if you only had done so, I would have received you back. So that you and your children could dwell long in the land. That there would be no need for enemies to come to chastise you and to bring you into captivity. And that really brings us to apply to ourselves. To us and our children. How we may live in the land. The example was not only for Israel to be convicting, but for us. So we too would serve no idols. We have heard of that recently. But the Lord our God alone, exclusively. But then not only obey the first commandment of the first table, but also the first commandment of the second table. Showing that indeed we worship the Lord our God alone as our Heavenly Father, then also those by whom He rules us. As we obey the first, so the second table. So we too be strangers in the land, that we be in the world, though not of the world. So that we too would be not too settled, too comfortable, too conform to it, and too much at ease and at home in it. So that we wouldn't be like the world, but that we would be a light in the world. So that the darkness would not pervade our homes, but that light would pervade the darkness around us. How could we be a light in this particular context? Well, by obeying those and honoring those in authority over us. Wouldn't that be a refreshing way of being different? Not only, as we heard last week, being different, that we have this day, that we may lay down our work and worship the Lord our God and rest body and soul, but that we may show them what it is to be strangers in the world, that we have higher goals, honoring those above us and set over us. Young people and children, if there is something that you are not allowed to do, and just tell your friends. My father said so. And that's the end of all talk. My father says so, and my father says so, that's the way it's going to be. Or my mother, because you must obey both. Since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. And so to give them due obedience, that which we owe to them. Obeying them then is obeying God. That's what we really find in Ephesians 6 very clearly stated. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Many times in these verses we read, in the Lord, unto Christ. And mom and dad tell us something to do, or tell us not to do something, we must hear them as if God Himself speaks to us. And that not only at home, children to their parents, but also wives to their own husbands. We find it in Ephesians 5, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is not a restricting command. This is a liberating command. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. As unto Christ, like Christ. It's a reflection of blessed fellowship and peace. In homes, but also at school. That's why you must obey your teachers at school, children. Now you're vacation, but soon the time comes and you go back to school, but it's your father who sends you there. You go in obedience to your father to school, and your father has given the teachers the authority to teach you. He's delegated that authority. So we must obey at school, but also in the workplace, older ones. Ephesians 6 verse 5, you read, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. No complaining then about certain rules. That's up to the boss to decide. Serve. Obey. Show them that you're different. Show your fellow workers that you're different indeed. And in the church as well. In government, Romans 13 verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there be no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Not only ordained, it says, but earlier it says that they really be of God. God himself has so chosen to rule us. The good as well as the evil. We must submit to them. Unless they force us to act against the word of God. And in the church, 1 Timothy 5 verse 17 speaks of ruling elders. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So when they do well, it's double honor. But if they do not rule well, they still must be honored for the office's sake. So to keep the fifth commandment, very clear in context of Ephesians 6 and other passages, extends way beyond the family. And it's more than just obey. It is to honor. To respect. It says even in Ephesians 6 verse 2, it adds to obey your parents, for this is right. And then in verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. First commandment with a promise. This is what the Rechabites understood. Do you? This is what the Rechabites practiced. Do you? At home? At work? School? Society? At large? On the road? In church? The Rechabites did, let me read, they showed all honor, love, and fidelity. Fidelity, I said already, is loyalty, is devotion. Beyond the death of their, I don't know how many great, how many times I have to use the word great before grandfather. Maybe 8 or 10 generations, 300 years. Surely fidelity. Surely beyond the outward duty. The outward act was a matter of love and respect there for the wisdom of their father, that they trusted his love and wisdom, that they obeyed him even beyond that which Scripture mandates. What a blessed place it was for that family. And though we know that our parents, nor we, as children, are perfect, we sin. And so do they. And that's why in the Catechism it very plainly states, patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, plural. If you have any idea of how God bears with us, dear congregation, we can bear with the few weaknesses that we see in other people, even in our parents. The older you get, the more weaknesses and sins and shortcomings you will see in your father and mother. But that doesn't mean that you can disobey them. And if you do, then you not only sin against God, but it's obvious that you have no idea of your own weaknesses and shortcomings. Now that's no excuse for abuse. Fathers, natural fathers, spiritual fathers, civil fathers may not abuse it. We must not, it says also in Ephesians 6 verse 4, not provoke our children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There is wisdom, there is balance here. But Ephesians 5 and 6, read these chapters today and see how balanced it is all set before us there. What is the way of peace and the way of blessing? No excuse for abuse by fathers, but no excuse for disobedience by children. Remember the Rechabites. And the key is unto the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 6 and 7, it says, not with eye service, as men pleasers. Not yourself either. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. When you're forbidden to do something that maybe in and of itself is not wrong, but if it is to prevent something that is wrong, namely serving God from the heart, if that stands in the way, then be submissive, like the Rechabites. It says, not with eye service, as men pleasers. And then in verse 7, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Obeying not just your father and mother, but really obeying the Lord our God. Not only then consider the rules, whether you like them or not like them, whether you agree or disagree, home or school or wherever it may be, but why they are given, the purpose, that we consider that they're meant for our good. Not only consider sin and its awful consequences, the consequences of disobedience, but also consider the obedience and its reward, as we hope to see in our third point, as we then see and consider the amazing example of the Rechabites, their submission, their commitment, but also their convicting example, then also their blessed reward. We find in this chapter both the reward of disobedience and the reward of obedience. Verses 16 and 17, the Lord makes it very plain how He will deal with Israel and all those that disobey all His commandments, including the fifth. We read in 16, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened to me, therefore. Every time the two are connected, the obedience of the Rechabites and the disobedience of the people of God, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. I have called unto them, but they have not answered. All the evil I pronounced, all that I declared, all the destruction and condemnation that I would bring upon them, if they would continue to disobey, if they persist in it, the Lord could have already dealt with them much sooner, as He did with the 10 tribes. They went into captivity way before this. But now it's about the time for Jeremiah's people that he ministers to, Judah and Jerusalem, the 2 tribes. In other words, if you persist in this way, you'll die. But if you repent and obey, you will live. If you confess your sins also with regard to the 5th commandment, amend your ways, trusting the blood of Jesus, trusting not only the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but following His example, you'll be blessed. And as it is with all threatenings in the Bible, with all pronunciations of evil, they're meant for good, every one of them. Not only the alluring invitations, but also the threatening condemnations are both meant for good, because we're still able to hear it. Israel was still able to hear it. The condemnation and the evil threatened hadn't yet come upon them. Meant for good, so we will not have to suffer it. So Jesus spoke many times of hell. Why? So we wouldn't have to go there. Meant for good. We mend our ways and turn so that we too may have that reward of grace. Even the reward attached to the fifth commandment, it's a commandment with a promise. A commandment with a promise. You find that also in our text, not only in the commandment itself and in Ephesians 6, but even in verse 19. Therefore, he speaks now about the Rechabites and to the Rechabites. Because you've obeyed the commandment of Jonadab and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, verse 19, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. This is a covenant promise. Dear congregation, the Rechabites will never lack a man to serve God, never lack a godly father. From father to son, it's the heart of the covenant. Never lack a godly father to rule his family. It's the first aspect of this blessed reward, promise of a God-fearing seed. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, future generations. But as we already said something about the second aspect of this reward, that it's already a present reality. Obeying God's commandment is not only having a future reward, but a present reward. Not only that they already for several generations experienced those blessings. How many among us too can look back? How many generations of God-fearing parents and grandparents? Brings a present blessing. Peace. Peace with God and man. In our conscience and in our home. When there's obedience, when there is submission to father and mother, there is peace, there is safety, and no bitter strife. But then the Spirit of the Lord Jesus is there, the Spirit of submission. Jesus not only earned such peace, but he applies it too. In Luke 2, when we read that he was in the temple, you know that story, boys and girls, he said to his parents, but wish ye not that I must be in my father's business. And his earthly father and mother were just standing there. So there was a gentle rebuke. But what do we read in the end? In chapter 2, verse 51, we read that he was subject to them. Even Jesus, the Son of God, God of God, was obedient to his father and mother. So look to him. Boys and girls, young people, all the ones, look to him. Look to the Prince of Peace. Be peacemakers. Be submissive. Be obedient. Follow him. Imitate him. Pray much as you study his word and for the power of his spirit and for God's fatherly providence to recognize that your father and mother are placed over you by God, who means it all for your good. So it starts in the present. It starts also at home. Homes are the basic unit of society. The saying is well known, as the family goes, so goes the nation. As the family goes, so goes the church. And that's really the third aspect of this reward and this blessed reward. Safety, prosperity. in the home, not only, but in society, in church, school, everywhere. If not a physical, then a spiritual prosperity. You know, of course, that in the Old Testament, God's blessing was often associated, if not always, with outward prosperity as well. That we cannot see in many cases. There are many very obedient Christians all over the world, perhaps more obedient than we are, more dedicated than we are, more courageous than we are, more obedient to their fathers and mothers than we are, persecuted to death, losing all they have. How can it be that they live then long and well in the land? And of course, we must put this in perspective of eternity. Either hell or heaven. You see, that's why Jonadab was moved to command his children beyond the mandate of Scripture in obedience in certain ways that he knew would keep them from being wrapped up with the world. He wanted them to live well and long in the land the Lord promised to give them. And that was the land of Canaan. But he knew too that the land of Canaan was not the end of things. There were battles. There was still the earth. Picture of heavenly Canaan he had in mind. Just like Abraham. A better country. And so in the New Testament, in Ephesians 6:3, it says that it may be well with thee that thou mayest live long on the earth. Same perspective there. As Israel looked at the land of Canaan, so now in the New Testament we look at the whole earth. They may live well on the earth and long on the earth. But there too we must have eternity perspective. Not only consider heaven, but also consider the earth. Consider the new earth and the new heaven. But this earth will be not destroyed, but consumed and purged, so that there may become a new heaven and a new earth, and live well and long there. How the Lord will do that, we do not know. But that it may be well with thee, and livest long on the earth, including the heavenly mansions, where heavenly Jerusalem will descend upon this earth, where God himself will dwell among his people. That's a long life. That's a good life. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth, to serve the Lord and to keep all his commandments. Then it's good for time and for eternity, for the present as well as for the future. Really, what I was speaking of is the fourth aspect of this blessed reward. For the Lord says, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Beyond the time on earth, it will be in eternity. This Jonadab was a blessed man. He had a blessed family. What would you not give, fathers, if your children would indeed, from now until the last generation when the Jesus will come back, have a man to stand before the Lord and fear him? Godly families? Forever? Undivided families? Begins with honoring your father and your mother. Of course, that is beginning on the second table of the law. The first we have already considered. But the first one on the second table begins with honor thy father and thy mother. Do you realize that is having the best of both worlds? And that by way of simple submission to our earthly fathers, natural fathers, spiritual and civil. This is God's way of peace. As unto the Lord, not only to do what's explicitly commanded in Scripture, and not only to do what's explicitly indeed backed up by Scripture and commanded by our fathers, but beyond that, go the extra mile. Not only to avoid evil, but even its appearance. And not only seek to avoid that, but seek to do good. Not only obey, but show all honor, love, and fidelity. Not only to do as told, unless, of course, Scripture forbids it, but even ask. Go beyond waiting for your mom and dad to tell you what to do. Ask them what you should do. Ask for their advice. Show respect to their wisdom, the wisdom of your grandparents, their experience. You think that they don't know what you're going through. Well, it's the other way around. You don't know what they are and where they are. You see, you just don't know that yet. You don't realize why certain things may be the reason why mom and dad say no to you when you're younger or even when you're older. You see, you don't know where they are, but they know where you are. They've been there. May not look like that when they look older, but they were children, they were teenagers just the same. Ask them what they think about certain things. And they may even say to you, well, I cannot say from the Bible what's wrong with this or that, but I think it'd be safer if you do not do this or go there. Honor that. It may be for your present and eternal peace and well-being. Let's, dear congregation, obey those, as Hebrews 13 says, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do so with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It is joyful to your parents and profitable to you and glorifying to God. Let's prove our respect and love for God by respecting all those set over us. Remember the Rechabites, the great blessing they received. Remember their amazing submission and their convicting example, and also their blessed reward. Amen.